Welcome to our inquiry together. The purpose of our inquiry is freedom of the heart and mind for all. Those listening are participating. Your receptive attention really helps the inquiry deepen. So it's very important to maintain attention. So listening not only to what's said outwardly, but listening to your own responses, the movements of the heart, the feeling world, the emotional world, the thinking about things. And the entire process of listening can also bring later some reflections on some of the themes that are touched upon. You will notice at the front here, there's two recorders tonight. So if you would like them turned off, just say so, and we won't record it. If it is recorded, you might find it on a website somewhere, eventually. So far, not many of my recordings are available, but some of them are, and hopefully many more in the future. It's an ongoing project. So again, you're invited to come with a question, something that's touched you perhaps, or it could be that you have an experience that you want to explore, or an issue. Yes, already, come. It's one of the wonderful things about teaching here is that people come very readily to the front. In Australia, we're much more shy, I think, and so sometimes we'll wait 5 minutes between each person, and there's this rather awkward silence where people feel pressure to come, and then they feel fear, and people start getting up from their cushion, and they sit back down again. But here, there's a queue. Once when I was teaching, first teaching in Israel in the other hall, people actually sprinted up the aisle. It was so funny. So, yes.
So, hi.
Hi.
My name is Ben.
Ben, hi.
And I would like to share a thought and an experience that I've had
this
morning throughout the day. And until maybe the Dharma talk. So this morning I had like a feeling or an experience during the meditation that I realized that I have legs and hands and ears and nose, and I have a body alive.
Yes.
And
you didn't realize this before?
I mean, I actually felt it.
I know what you're saying.
Strong.
Yes.
And I wanted to cry because I was so, I mean, it good cry.
Yes.
I mean, I wanted to share with everyone. I wanted to hug and kiss everyone.
Okay.
Because they also have it. They also have legs. And don't tell it to my family because they would think I'm crazy. I'm just kidding.
So it was a beautiful experience,
yes,
of embodiment where you felt very alive and in the body.
Mm-hmm.
In the body?
In the body, yeah.
Okay.
And then I realized I love everyone.
Yes.
And I was thinking about a phrase from the Bible, ואהבת לרעך כמוך, you shall
love thy neighbor,
love yourself.
As thyself.
Mm, yes. Yeah. And then I was, you know, thinking that I love other people because I love myself. So, and here's the judgment. So Ben, you are selfish. You love yourself, so you love others. That's the reason why you love others, because you love yourself.
Okay, and stop there.
Yeah.
Is there any difference between self and other?
No.
Okay. So the love isn't separated into love that sits here and love that sits there and there and there, is it? Love is indivisible.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
And so I realized that I judge myself again, like I'm selfish. So
yes.
So just let it go or let it be. Yeah. And I don't want to mix, you know, the recipe of the cake of happiness from Hafiz with selfishness maybe, or, you know, and judgment. So just leave it and just experience the love as it is.
Okay.
Without any judgment.
All right. So, here you were sitting in love that was all through your body. There was the understanding and recognition of the non-difference between you and everybody else. This wonderful seeing of boundless love. And what comes into it? The I thought. And the I thought forms, doesn't it? It comes together. So the I is landing in the thought world and says, I'm selfish.
Yes.
Okay. So, say a little more about this. Why is it that you see yourself as selfish? Is it a habit of yours? Was there any preceding thought?
So I don't want to hurt anyone.
Yes.
Else.
Yes.
Because I don't want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm in pain, so other people can be in pain as well, or other creators, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not just human beings, but, and I don't want to do that because I know how it feels. I mean, myself. So.
Okay, so there's love and goodwill, love thy neighbor, love and goodwill to everyone everywhere.
Point, that's it. Not because I love my, I mean.
Yes, okay. And then the habit mind comes back in and says, I. So there's love everywhere, except with this I thought. What are we going to do with that?
Drop out the I.
You said it. Okay. So in that moment of your self-reflection and saying, well, I'm loving others because of myself, what can you do and say? What can shift and change? How can you just drop the I? Did the I drop away?
In the sentence, no.
Okay, no. But we use I in language, and we all know what we mean, but it's whether the I was formed and strong and you had this strong sense of the self-critical person. So what happened in your experience today?
And so I did a realization that there is love has washed my body.
Yes.
And then my thoughts get into this mixed emotions and feelings.
Yes.
I guess it's natural. The practice.
Yes.
Maybe
it is very natural, of course.
Yeah.
So, are you the thoughts?
If I am the thought?
Are you the thoughts? You said you had a nose and a point to my knees, I say that. You said you had a nose and a head and hands and feet. What about thoughts? Do you have thoughts?
No. I mean, I do.
Yes.
But it's not, I mean, thoughts are just thoughts that are there. I mean, it's not, I mean...
Yes, yes. Say more. So, we recognize that we have a body, and we can have that beautiful experience that you described of being completely embodied. Could this embodiment also include thought?
It can.
Yes. What would your relationship then be to the thought?
They're part of this magic,
I guess. Yes. Yes. So, would you be clinging to the thought? Were you clinging to your knee? No.
No.
Would you be clinging to the thought?
No as well.
Exactly. So, thought is unproblematic completely when we don't see it as, when we don't cling to it. And when we don't cling to it, we can be with our thoughts in the same extraordinary way that you are with the rest of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on.
I guess that's it. Thank okay, you. So and then I was thinking, why I came to the stage to share these things with everyone?
Because you were invited. Okay, and it's a precious sharing, and I thank you for it. But I have another question, so don't go yet.
Okay.
Why did this experience last up until the Dharma talk and not continue?
It's not, of course, it's continued, but I guess that I stopped dealing with that, or you know, or keep thinking about it.
Yes. Okay.
Right after the Dharma talk, because there I've had, you know, the opportunity to think about mixing of joy.
Yes.
With, I mean, and connected to my thoughts. I guess I ended that there.
Okay.
The process, or
yeah, the process ended because you were then listening to the Dharma talk.
Yeah, and then
reflecting upon that.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, thank you very much for sharing an exquisite, and beautiful, and rather precious experience. So, there is love here. There is love there. All around. And it doesn't skip over any of you. Sometimes we think there's a lot of love in the room, but it isn't landing on me, it's kind of bypassing me. So if that's what's happening for you, if you're sitting there feeling unloved, bring the attention inward, feel the body, feel it with sensitivity, feel its wonder, feel how extraordinary it is to actually be alive. Be receptive. And then watch and see and know for yourself the unfolding process. This is how we come to our freedom. Our freedom needs to be embodied, known, felt, sensed. And then, of course, expressed. And what you're doing up here is expressing that understanding. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, anybody? Yes. Yes, come.
Hey, I'm Leah. I have two things, two issues that I hold. It's not related to the retreat experience, some ideas, which I don't know how to mix them to one question. So I'll start with the first one and we'll see how it goes. So we talk about, you're a therapist and we talk about emptiness. So I'll share from my life experience. So for many years, I had the dukkha.
Yes.
In life and
the suffering,
the anguish. Suffering. Yeah. The disease. And with the years, I started to go to a therapist, a clinician. And main thing during the period, during the conversation, was build an identity.
Yes.
Build a self. And it was it is one of the greatest things I ever did, to build some story. And the magical thing is that when you said, okay, I'm the one who write the story, so it's my life became better, not perfect because there is no perfect, but they became better.
Okay.
You want to stop me?
In the world of psychology, we talk about having a cohesive sense of self. I'm actually trained as a self-psychologist. And of course, self is used a little differently and understood differently in the world of psychology and in the world of Dharma. And by a cohesive sense of self, we mean that the kind of fracturing that can be present sometimes when we feel really disturbed and distressed is not there. And there's a sense of knowing who you are so that you can function and live in the world. And you describe this as building up the story. So in a way, the therapy is putting together the pieces, the important pieces of your life. I know in the Dharma world, there's a saying and it's drop the story. And we all know what meant by that. It means drop being really dramatic about certain aspects of your story. But in Australia, with our Indigenous people, they say, if you don't have story, you don't have heart. And so I think that our experiences in our life really give us some depth of wisdom or depth of heart. And so I don't ever tell anyone, I think, to drop all of the story, because I think it's important. Our life experiences inform us, they shape us, and I put more emphasis on seeing into those experiences and understanding those experiences. So we're not trying to say there is no self. Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to therapy.
Okay.
Your life got better.
No, and so, and then I got the okay, there is a self, and then I read and learned Buddhism and the contrast between the building a self. And yes. There is no self, I couldn't sleep. And then
okay.
And then I realized, I heard, if you know guys, Yaakov Raz, that he talks about, and he said there is no self, there is no permanent separate self.
Yes.
So, and then I said, okay, so there is you talked about identities, like as a mother, as a professional. Yes, as,
yeah.
So there is a few, if there are a few I, so there is no one I. And then, okay, so I'm a few I's, and I change all the time. I stopped fighting it.
Yes.
And I was okay. I was great. Like, okay.
Yes.
And then I met someone. And then I met someone. And then he had a few problems with the eyes I am.
Oh.
No. So for example, I said, I told him about relationships with people, with teachers, with professionals. And he said, you know, you're so emotional and all your... And it was... He criticized me.
Yes.
And then, after being okay with a few selves, you know, and like, but that's what I feel. And then, it's like dharma fight with dharma, you know, like some...
Okay, so you're getting yourself in a tangle.
Because he was right. I'm living stories. He was right. But once he like, you know, you're living stories. So all my eyes came together and I wanted to protect. Like, I feel it. So don't tell me you just feel it and let it go. I feel it. You can't tell me don't feel. And it's...
So the question is?
How to... Because I, at some... In one end, I agreed with him. Yeah, I'm living stories. Tensions with people are, you're right. But when you say you are wrong, you don't come and tell people you're wrong. You live a story, stop. It's wrong. So people can, I don't know, can work, can do their work. And I felt that once I got... He told me the truth, but
okay,
I couldn't accept it. I couldn't accept it, and I don't know... And we're not together anymore, but I'm still in this fight.
Okay. Okay, so the truth that he told you was that you were becoming entangled emotionally in dramas.
Mm-hmm.
Drama as opposed to dharma. Okay? And so you heard that from him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting here now and you're recognizing that is true.
I know it's true when you say that.
Yes. Okay. So what would need to shift to free up your life so that it's not so difficult in your interpersonal relationships, so that there's not conflict or there's not... intense, dramatic stories over and over and over again. What would need to shift within you?
Maybe the expectations that things will shift immediately.
Well said, yes. Okay, what else?
I don't know.
Okay.
'Cause I'm...
So, do you experience your emotional world as problematic?
Sometimes.
Yes. Yes. And when it's problematic, what do you see that you're actually doing?
So... There are two options, or I feel that I, you know, getting into a shield.
Yes.
Or giving up of everything, of myself, but
yes.
Not in a good way, not in a good that I feel...
Yes, so it's the extreme.
An empty boat and...
Yes.
Okay.
So it's the extremes.
Yeah.
You're in one extreme or the other. Could there be a middle way? A middle path? Yes.
They'll find it all.
Okay. So what would the middle path be in relationship? Because you are either giving everything until you disintegrate, or you're barricading your heart so much that nobody can reach you and you feel lonely? What could you do? What's another approach or another way? So giving up the expectation that it's all going to be fine immediately, but gradually working on this issue to make your relationships, not only with yourself, but with everybody else, more harmonious, easier.
So there is a way to tell them, but it's it's okay to tell a friend, you know, or a colleague, a close colleague that, but or to people with your in your retreat, because we all like the same.
Yes. Okay.
But it's not something you can share. You know, I'm working on myself. I'm trying to be a better person. So I'm sorry for being a bitch, but you act like a bitch also. You know, it's a long time. I can't say all that to. I can't say that.
Okay. So you can't say that.
But this is the way I know for today. Like,
yeah, so this. So, okay, so more skillful communication. So I know that there's, you know, there's even courses you can do. There's lots of people to help with ways of saying things so that the other person can hear them rather than just barricade themselves and shut off from you. Sometimes directness is really appropriate, but sometimes it needs to be softened a little bit.
Of course, but... I just prefer to get inside and to deal, you know, I can deal with my stuff.
Oh, to get inside and barricade your heart and suffer.
Yeah, but I don't know, maybe there are just things we can't solve, and then you hope, okay, so...
I don't think you'd be here if you really believed that. Okay, so here you are, you're stuck with a particular habit pattern, an entrenched disturbance of the mind, if you like, where you get very caught up emotionally and it doesn't feel good inwardly, and it probably doesn't feel good when it lands on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying... that you are some kind of disturbed person, but using disturbance of the mind in the way that the Buddha used it. We have a bad day when there's disturbances of the mind, and the disturbances of the mind are usually bound up with desire. They're bound up with negativity or irritation or anger, or they're bound up with not seeing clearly. They're the major disturbances of the mind. And so the shift is to see, when you're feeling distressed, what is it I really want? What is my unfulfilled desire right now? Is my mind caught up really wanting something to be other than it is? The next thing is, am I expressing lots of irritation and anger and annoyance inwardly or outwardly? And so some work in that area, how to express something that's delicate with a friend tactfully, instead of it landing suddenly and with a big bang. And finally, to see clearly. And we see clearly when we connect, when we sit with ourselves, be with ourselves.
Okay.
There's something fabulous that you've been doing while you've been sitting up here that's extraordinarily helpful in all of this. And it is that you've been having a great sense, you have a great sense of humor about yourself, okay? And this in itself means you're taking yourself a little lightly. I know you've had a tough couple of days, but your humor has really come forth and you've lightened up enormously.
Thank you.
So, yes, while there are these aspects of our particular habits that we have that keep us locked into unhealthy patterns with others, while we have those habits, and we all have them to some extent, there's other aspects of our being that can really, really help us through. And one of those is not taking yourself too seriously, which you're obviously not. You're also witty and funny and delightful. And these are your strengths. And when we're in a stuck place, it's our strengths that really help us. Okay. And I really appreciate all of the work that you've done over the years. I think when we see that we're having a difficult life and life is hard, and then we look inwardly and we say, okay, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to change some aspects of my life. I'm going to seek help. It's incredible wisdom. So well done.
Thanks.
Really well done. And don't worry. Just listen over the days, and I think more clarity will come. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, anybody? Oh, we have two. Since you came last night, the person behind. Yes. What's your name?
Tan. So I've been having this conversation with you during this day.
Yes.
I'm quite frustrated with the practice, and I've been thinking about this report you read us the other day about enlightenment.
Oh, yes.
This person that reports his enlightenment.
Yes.
So.
And it set up envy, or what did it set up?
It's very intimidating. With very high probability, I would never get enlightened. And I assume I don't want to speak.
Stop right there. Stop right there. This view, enlightenment is for very few and it's a rare thing. And I couldn't possibly be enlightened. Is actually a barrier in and of itself, isn't it? Okay. So, could we drop the view? Could we put that aside?
I find I can't. I mean, it's almost, I mean, it's not a fact, but...
Okay. Is it the I that wakes up?
No.
well, yeah, it's a thought about myself. So, but not only myself. I mean, I also think about the other people here. And I don't want to speak in your name, but I also believe that.
He believes you're all wasting your time.
Yeah, I mean,
we should give up now.
It's true that in principle this enlightenment is accessible to anyone, but in practice it's unattainable for I mean, with very, I mean, most chances is that everyone here will not be enlightened. This, I mean, I'm talking probability, right? Or I don't know.
Okay.
You cannot fight that, right?
Shall we start with you? And we could have 1 out of 50? So, let's come back to this whole notion of enlightenment, what you understand it is, and whether or not the I is ever enlightened. So what do you understand? What do you mean by enlightenment?
So I think about this person that described the enlightenment, and
yes,
it's like a very singular moment that happens to someone.
Yes,
and
it can be. It can be singular. It can be an event that changes one's relationship to the entire world and self. Or it can be a very gradual process of loosening up one's life bit by bit by bit and feeling more and more freedom. Say more.
Well, I thought you would say that.
Yes. And you have an answer for me waiting?
No, except that it's still still intimidating and yeah.
Yes, yes. If we look at it as I need to be totally enlightened in this life, then yes, it's an overwhelming goal. So could we just start from here and now? And I want to ask you, did you notice any moments today where there wasn't any suffering?
Yes, yeah. I mean...
Yes!
Of course.
Yes, okay. Tell us one.
One of the breaks, I came out of my room and I remember this sentence you say, that sometimes you can notice that there are no problems at all. And yeah, I noticed.
And there wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, beautiful.
But the thing is that these small achievements, sorry, for
yeah,
are seems completely uncorrelated to my effort. I mean,
okay,
it's nothing that I do seems to bring them.
Exactly. So, nothing, listen to what you said, nothing that I do seems to bring freedom closer. So, what if you were to consider dropping or putting this I, the one who wants to be enlightened, in the background for a moment?
Well, then what would drive me keep on practicing?
There would still be intention, okay? So you have intention. Have you had an experience where the sense of I has been very faint or light or fallen away?
It's
yes?
It's hard for me to remember, but I assume that I can understand what you mean.
Yes. So let's take today, when you remembered, Radha said, sometimes there aren't any problems. And you looked and there wasn't one. What happened in that very moment to the sense of I? You're sitting there in the sun. There isn't a problem anywhere.
can't say, but I think it just spring back up right after.
Yes. So, but in the moment of the absence of the problem, self was not in the forefront of consciousness. And then the I came rushing back and said what?
Started thinking about how this is surely going to disappear soon, as it didn't.
Yes. Yes. Because there's a belief sitting there that says, I can't know freedom. This is a belief. Your experience showed you otherwise. You did know in that moment the freedom. So what are you going to trust? Are you going to trust your experience?
Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't keep on trying.
Exactly. Okay. So good spirit. This is great. So we have to learn to trust those experiences, even if they're momentary. We reflect on them and say, oh, the I in that moment ceased, and so did the suffering. In that moment, there was nothing to worry about, no problem anywhere. There was freedom of the heart and mind. You weren't caught up anywhere. And then the I comes back and says, but I can't be enlightened. This is a mental fabrication. And just a note on the word enlightenment, the Buddha didn't use it. What's more accurate is awakening or waking up. Buddha, Bud means to wake up. So it means to wake up to life, to wake up to what's going on. So the habit of mind from the past projects onto the present. The I rises and says, I can't be enlightened, it's for other people. The rare few. Okay, could you drop that belief? Keep practicing and see for yourself. So, one moment of awakening, followed by another and another and another, until your life is very free. That's the mix.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just sitting quietly for a couple of minutes.
That I had today.
Yes.
It's hard to hear.
Okay. I said I wanted to share experiences that I had today, very new and exciting. I also used your suggestion to notice moments when there is no suffering and to lean into those moments. And I also used Elias' idea to rest into.
Mm.
So it happened to me today when I was suffering from pain that I'm having from the beginning of the retreat. And then I thought, I don't have to notice this because other things are happening at the same time. Nice feelings.
Mm-hmm.
In other parts of my body, and I can rest in there, in
yes.
those places.
Yes.
And it was really like it was like an insight, because then I experienced the nice feeling, and the part that was aching started to soften.
Yes.
And it was less painful.
Yes.
And then there was joy.
Beautiful.
And then when I walked with this joy outside, I really wanted to share it with you.
Yes.
And then I had this judgmental thought, oh, this is childish. It's like a child wanting to run to mommy and say, oh, look what I found and how lovely
yeah,
this
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And I managed to see this and say, well, this is human. I mean, I want to share.
Yes.
Maybe I'll be able to, maybe I won't, but this is
mm-hmm.
a good intention. And then I was even more joyful. And then I was so happy that I can do this thing that I got even more. And
yes.
more.
Okay.
And I sense this endless experience of joy, like it does not have a limit. And it was really wow. Yeah. And I had such an inner permission.
Yes.
To feel
yes.
so much joy.
And to take the attention from the painful.
Yeah.
To something else and somewhere else. And begin to let in that which is nourishing.
Yeah.
And then the joy starts to flood through the whole body and mind. And then, of course, joy shares itself everywhere. So, I noticed both yesterday and today, when you were up here, that you're sitting really looking at me and not really looking out there.
Yeah, I noticed it yesterday. So.
Okay, so share the joy. All around the room, please. Looking.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, it's a great view.
Thank you.
Thank you. short reflection. Sometimes we can really be touched by love, and that sense of love is expressed as the gratitude for being alive, and it's felt and embodied. And Ben expressed it rather well by saying, it was just a delight to have a body, hands and feet. And then, of course, that love didn't stop there. He wanted it for all of you. He wanted to know, you each to know that there is this possibility. And this is what love does. Love is indivisible, really. When we feel love for ourselves, it's not different or separate from the love we have for others. Love in its deepest sense, of course, is vast and immeasurable, and it includes love for ourselves. This way of being with ourselves where we're not clinging to anything, not clinging physically, also extends to the world of thought. So we can be with our thoughts without gripping and grasping and claiming the thoughts as mine. And when we can do this, there's extraordinary freedom. So our practice is very often loosening the grip of mind on the thought world. And the thought that can often arise in these circumstances is a self-critical thought. We need to loosen our view we have of ourselves, and in some cases of others. With the second inquiry, sometimes we have a deep knowing within us, a wise voice that tells us what we need and the directions we need to go in and what we need to explore. And the richness of our life, our story, has value. We learn from it, we see into our experiences. And if we have story, we have heart. And our stories are precious. It's partly why I teach with story. And Eli is also a storyteller, because stories are wonderful. The stories of our lives, you know, enrich us. I come from Australia. I grew up sitting around campfires in the evening, where listening to people tell stories. There was no television where I grew up, so this is what we did. We would sit outside around a fire. And most of the stories people told weren't true. But they were funny and delightful. And there's a great tradition of telling stories. And from the story of our life can come extraordinary beauty and wisdom. So we're not asking you to throw it all away. And how we relate to that story is important. We need to relate to it with lightheartedness, not taking ourselves too seriously. And we saw a beautiful example of that tonight. The next inquiry was about this belief or view that we can so readily hold, that I can't wake up. Ironically, it's when the I ceases to be dominant that our freedom is known. So it's not the I that wakes up, but there is awakening. There is freedom that's available. And we can see it and know it as we heard. And finally, our mind is very much in the habit of gripping and grasping the problematic. We see our problems, our pains, our difficulties. And when the mind is tied up there, we are not open to the whole of our experience. And we just heard a beautiful description of shifting the attention from the problematic to see what else is present. And when we start to see what else is here in this vast and rich life, then joy can come through and joy is expressed and was expressed rather beautifully. Joy is one of the divinities of the heart, the Buddha called it. The divine abodes. Somebody asked the Buddha, how can I live with God? And the Buddha said, you can be with God by being with the Brahma Viharas, the divinities in your own heart. And the divinities in your own heart are love, compassion, joy, and equanimity. So joy has a beautiful place and an important place in the Dharma teachings. And the joy is contagious, as you saw. When we see someone being really joyous and joyful, it spills over and touches us. So thank you to the four who inquired. I know there were more who wanted to come, but there'll be inquiry tomorrow. So thank you each for listening. And there's great beauty in the authenticity of the inquiries, great sincerity. Thank you.